The second reading is from the Gospels, and it's Luke, page 1036. So it's Luke 8, 4 through to 15. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on the rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on with their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop.
And good to see you. We are beginning this series. That's the other thing I need. called Pointed Stories. Thank you. Pointed Stories, there it is. Yes, I've got one of those. Reading this series called Pointed Stories. It's a series on parables that have been told by Jesus. And we're going to be jumping around. A lot of them will be from Luke's Gospel, but there'll be some from Mark, some from Matthew as well. And we're calling this series Pointed Stories because each parable is a... each parable is a story with a point. That's what a parable is. It's a story Jesus told that basically has one main point that it's getting at. It might have other things as well, but it's got one main kind of key thing it's saying. That's the first reason we're calling it Pointed Stories. Also, we're calling it Pointed Stories because it's pointing to something important. So this main point is pointing to something important that Jesus is wanting to show us and highlight and make a point of. And thirdly, generally these stories are pointing us in a direction outward as well, not just kind of inside the circle, but he's pointing us outside the circle, outside of our kind of boundaries, outside of whether it's church boundaries or our own kind of thinking and our own comfortable lives, our own kind of place of being where we usually think. He's pointing us to think outwards. So they're pointing outwards. They're pointed stories in that sense that they're pointing outwards. They're the stories of the kingdom of God, which is growing and expanding. And finally, they're pointed stories because these points that point outwards tend to be pointed on us. They tend to be a bit uncomfortable. Their point presses on us in our comfortable lives and our assumptions. Jesus tends to really press in with the point of his stories in a way that points into us and our assumptions. So that's why we're calling it Pointed Stories. We're starting today in one sense with a parable of parables, because this is a parable about how we hear Jesus' words. So it's in some ways a parable that sets us up for hearing all the other parables. Let's then pray as we get underway with it. Heavenly Father, please do let us have ears to hear, that hearing we would understand, that seeing we would truly know. Bless us with that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The ideal citizen. The ideal citizen. I don't know if it's something you think about wanting to be, but I think in some way underneath, when you dig down, all of us want to be the ideal citizen. We want to be a good person. We define it in different ways. Some of us define a good person as someone who's kind of what I would have used to call a straighty 180, a goody two shoes, a kind of straight down the line kind of fellow. Some of us would define a good person as someone who's a bit alternative, the kind of countercultural good person. But either way, we want to be it. We want to be that kind of ideal, that good person, that countercultural person. And the idea that we might not be a good person is usually very uncomfortable for us. And generally, and particularly New Zealanders, when someone suggests there might be something wrong with us in terms of us being a good person, we get very defensive. Very defensive. I think we saw something about this ideal citizen thing, this good person, ideal citizen thing, in the Quakes as well. I was thinking about this. The whole student army, farmy army thing, and we saw these great... Isn't that funny? We saw these great sort of highlights of the good that was being done, and this kind of ideal citizen thing coming through in that. But there was another side as well. I was talking to a young man, maybe a year after the Quakes, maybe a little bit less, who was in the heart of the city on February 22nd, and he saw horrible things, things that I didn't see. He saw horrible things. He was haunted by a feeling that he didn't do more. He was kind of paralyzed with fear at the time, but then he was haunted afterwards by this feeling that he should have been able to do more. He really felt he wasn't the ideal citizen. He wasn't even a good citizen. He wasn't a good person on that day. And I think that kind of thing led in part to the phenomenon we heard of survivor guilt, where people felt bad because they'd survived. But if they'd survived, why couldn't they help others? See, we do want to be this ideal citizen, this good person, at least the right kind of person. And I wonder if you notice that's what this parable is actually about. Did you see? It's page 1036 it was in those Bibles, by the way. This parable's about being an ideal citizen, good person. There's four soils in this story. It's the story Jesus tells of a sower who goes out to sow his seed from verse 5. He's telling it to a group that are gathered. And verse 5, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he's scattering the seed, it falls in four different places. First of all, there's the hard ground in verse 5 as well. It falls along the path, which is hard ground. It kind of scatters on the path. It's trampled. The birds eat it up. That's the first one. The second one, some of it falls also on the rocky ground, It does sort of grow and springs up quickly, but because it had no moisture, the plants wither. Verse 7, some falls amongst the thorns, in the kind of thorny ground, and the thorns grew up at the same time and choked the other plants out. And finally, some falls on good soil as well and produces a huge crop. 100 times more than what was sown. That is a massive crop. It's a bumper crop. It's not your normal kind of good crop. This is a huge crop out of the ordinary. That's the fourth soil. Now, that's going through it pretty quickly, but what's it about? Jesus is not particularly interested or fussed here to tell us about gardening or farming for its own sake. Again, these are parables that we're looking at. This is a parable. It's a story with a point that it's making. And Jesus gives us a key to it all, even before he explains it, because it's good. In this parable, we actually get it explained. You don't always get that in Jesus' parables. But even before he explains it, he kind of highlights what it's going to be about in verse 8, the end of verse 8. Did you see that? When Jesus said the parable, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he said the parable... He called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." This is about hearing. It's about ears. It's about the importance of hearing. And as he goes on and explains a bit further, we see this some more. Verse 9, the disciples ask him to explain the parable. They've followed him in somewhere afterwards, probably. They ask him to explain the parable. His response, verse 10. "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." Strange thing that he says for a start. In order to understand it, really important to see that little bit in the quotation marks there is a quote. It's quotation marks. It's a quote from Isaiah chapter 6, which was the other passage that we heard, that John read for us tonight. It's a little kind of snippet quote from Isaiah chapter 6. And in Isaiah, at that point, Isaiah is being sent out to a people who've already shown, and God knows they'll continue to show, that they don't want to hear the message from God. They're too busy with their own stuff. They're not listening, really wanting to hear. They're actually not wanting to hear at all. That's the people Isaiah is getting sent to, and God says, go out, and I'm sending you to them, and this is what they're going to be like. So Jesus is calling that to mind as he explains what this parable is about. He's calling to mind a scary picture of a hard heart. A hard heart that doesn't even really want to hear. A hard heart where sound of God's message in Isaiah goes into the ears, but it bounces off a hard heart. It doesn't sink in. So this parable, Jesus is saying, is all about how you hear. And as he goes through and explains it bit by bit, we see that more clearly. Verse 11 to 15, each of the four different soils is representative of different ways that people hear. Each soil is like a group of people in how they're hearing. And by telling this pointed story, Jesus is pointedly asking his hearers, and Jesus through Luke's gospel tonight is asking us, is asking you, which kind of soil are you? How do you receive this seed, the message of Jesus, the word of God? Are you soil number one, verse 12? Soil that hears but doesn't even really hear. Verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. They hear, but they don't even really hear. There's this idea of hearts again, bouncing off the path, the kind of hard hearts reference. By the way, when you hear the word devil, please don't think of a comic guy in red horns and an over-tight fitting jumpsuit. I saved you from the jumpsuit in that picture. Because the Bible's picture is much darker than that, that kind of comic thing. It's more subtle. The devil's the enemy of God's work, of God's good work that he does, like people hearing Jesus' message. Because they'd hear, what does Jesus say? Well, they'd hear and believe and be saved, Jesus says. So the devil here snatches the word away. Just a little thought with this then. If you don't really give the message of Jesus the time of day, not really, if you don't really consider it properly, if you're not really open to it, if you don't ever maybe take time, or you have heard it lots but you're just kind of close to it, have you considered it could actually be more than just you who's involved in that? It struck me as I read this. It could be more than just your disinterest or your thinking you've heard it before or your not really being interested in hearing it for the first time. It could be something or someone else at work in you. Don't dismiss that too quickly. In fact, why not risk asking God? If that's you, you kind of know that's you. Why not risk asking God, if he's there, risk asking him to help you hear really. Asking him to genuinely help you to actually really hear his message openly. It's first soil. Are you the first soil? Or are you maybe the second soil? Verse 13. Soil that hears but doesn't hold on. Hears but doesn't hold on. Verse 13. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The key issue here is enthusiasm, and then the novelty wears off. Things get tough. I actually understand this. I remember when, for me, Christianity was all beer and Skittles. Not literally beer, but it was all that kind of thing. Every day was exciting. Honestly, every day was exciting. I remember waking up every day. I was thinking, this is amazing. And then after a while, the novelty, that kind of sheen, kind of wore off a bit. But you know, some things are worth holding on to even after the novelty wears off. Their value is more than just your, feeling at this particular time, your immediate feelings about something. They're bigger than just that kind of shine, that sheen. They're actually more important. They're worth holding on to even when the shine fades a bit. We know that with some relationships. There are people that we might not be bursting with excitement to catch up with or to give a call to, spend time with, but we actually know that the relationship and they are worth more than just how we feel. Some things are worth sticking with even when the novelty wears off. Jesus and his message are like that. There is great joy in them and we should seek it. But even when we're feeling flatter, even when it's more everyday or ho-hum, it's actually still infinitely precious. Don't let go. Are you the second soil? Third soil. Soil that hears but gets pulled away. Verse 14. It's interesting. The message of Jesus here, it's not about it losing its shine. Verse 14. It's simply about it being overwhelmed by other things. Verse 14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Different things choke this message, the word of God, message of Jesus out. Worries. Other things become too worrying and you don't have time or space in your mind left for the message of Jesus. I've got to deal with the things I'm worried about. Message of Jesus will have to take back seat because there's things I'm worried about that need dealing with. These things are pressing on me. Worries choke it out. Riches choke it out. Building the career or the project or the empire just becomes too important. And Jesus' message has to take its place behind. Maybe you're not throwing it right out, but behind in that line. But before you know, falls back on the agenda and then off the end of the page. Those riches, those concerns, those successes become more important. Choke it out. Pleasures. Simple, really, the pleasures thing. The immediate pleasures are too strong. I know this one. Maybe it's a romantic relationship we've always wanted. And it comes along, it's too appealing, even though it's leading us away from Jesus, this particular thing. Or the pornography. The pornography, the pattern of watching lust-inducing stuff is too appealing, even though we know it jars with Jesus' message and it pushes us away from him, but it's too appealing. The drinking's too much fun, even though we know it's leading to excess and we'd never want our church friends to know about it. We know it's pulling us away, but it's just too good. And it pulls us away from Jesus. These things, worries, riches, pleasures, they choke out the message of Jesus. They just don't leave room for it anymore. They go to the front of the queue in our lives and slowly they grow until Jesus has just slipped out the horizon. It's like his message has been choked and slowly died and faded. The thorns have taken over. Soil number three. Or are you soil number four? Verse 15, the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So says Jesus. Soil that really hears, soil, that's people, that really hear. They're ready to hear and believe. They want to hear. They want to receive the word. Like good soil is kind of eager to receive a crop in one sense, in that kind of picturesque sense. They welcome it in, and so they hold on to it. And they end up producing a crop because they hold on to it. This parable is all about how you hear. But that's the thing. Clearly, of these four soils, they've all got kind of different angles to them. But the one that Jesus is saying, you know you want to be this, is soil four. He's clearly setting you up, saying, you want to be soil four. You want to be soil four. But with the fourth soil, Jesus is saying how you hear is key. It's key for all of them, but it's key particularly to note for the right one, for the one that he's saying this is what you want to be like. How you hear is so important. He reinforces it, actually, and we're just going to look at one verse of this next. He tells another parable after this about the lamp on the stand. Look down at verse 18. He says the same thing again. Verse 18, just down below. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Jesus isn't being particularly subtle here. I know it's a parable, but he keeps saying the same thing over again. Consider carefully how you listen, the way you listen. See, for Jesus, being an ideal citizen, a good person, is about your heart and especially about how you receive his message, the word of God, about how you listen to it. That's what being a good person is about. Does that seem strange? For how we usually think, it is strange how we hear. Isn't being a good person, isn't being an ideal citizen about what you do? That example I used of the young man who felt like he should have done something more. It's about what you do. Jesus is saying it's about how you hear. But think for a minute. This is Jesus speaking. He's speaking, verse 11, he says about people receiving the word of God, because this is meaning the parable, verse 11, the seed is the word of God, and all these different sources are people receiving it. Jesus claimed to come and speak the word of God about the kingdom of God in a way that no one had ever done before. He made extraordinary claims, still does, through the scriptures, through the Bibles we have in our hands, claims to die in our place, to deal with the rubbish that we've done to God and to others. And then God raised him to life and victory. And Jesus said, my resurrection shows that I have the victory. My resurrection shows you've got hope in the face of death. And so it makes sense that actually what Jesus is interested in the first instance is how you respond to him. That's the first thing. That's the first measure of what it is to be, in one sense, a good person, an ideal citizen, according to Jesus. Not just according to me, not even just according to one of the other apostles through whom Jesus speaks, but according to Jesus' own words here too. Now, of course, that doesn't totally eliminate the need to do good, and we'll see more about that next week. And it also doesn't mean that those who respond to Jesus' word only ever do good things. Far from it, we all know that. But it means that how we respond to Jesus is actually the key in what Jesus thinks makes for a good person, for an ideal citizen. Which makes perfect sense, because as the one who is God's ultimate representative, God's way of salvation, how we respond to him is going to matter. It's going to be of personal importance to God. Responding to Jesus in this way, fourth soil way, and especially how our hearts are in that response, our attitude, our humility in that, our readiness, because humility is readiness to receive and hold on to it and keep it at the front of our lives. This is actually a moral issue. It's an ethical issue. It's not just some kind of, oh, you can take it or leave it as long as you be a good person. No, this is being a good person. It's a moral issue, how you respond to Jesus. Luke makes this especially clear in his presentation of Jesus' words here. Did you see this? Verse 15. Very careful. The words are very important. What sort of heart does he say good soil people have? Verse 15. What sort of heart? Yeah, but he actually describes it with two words. Noble and good. It's the quality, the ethical, the moral words. And actually, the noble and good was a big deal in the ancient world, a big deal. Those particular words, the Greco-Roman world, who Luke mostly wrote to, it seems, that was a stock phrase for a good person. It was kind of a way of describing an ideal citizen. They were the noble and good. It's like one word almost, noble and good. And for someone who was exactly the sort of person everyone wanted to be and knew they should be, they were often called noble and good people. Jesus applies that idea squarely to our hearts and how we receive his message. Jesus is saying, according to him, if you want to be a noble and good person, an ideal citizen, in other words, humble your heart, receive his word, and hold on to it no matter what, because it is worth it. He couldn't actually be clearer about that. And so the question he continues to ask, how will you respond to him? What sort of soil is your heart? Hard, so it bounces off, hear but don't really hear. Rocky, hear but don't hold on. Enthusiasm, but when that wears off, you let go. thorns, you hear, but other things choke out and you get distracted? Or good soil, hear and hold on? If you do want to be soil number four, as I hope you do, then the first thing to do is keep listening to his word with a genuinely open heart to him. And as we listen to more of the parables, which we're going to be doing kind of from now up to nearly Christmas, it's kind of, we're going to look at 10 of them. These parables, like we've said, they're pointed stories. They are going to press in on you at some point, probably every week, certainly some weeks. They will press in. They will be uncomfortable. They will say things that you react to, that you're not sure you like, that you absolutely don't like. Listening to him with a noble and good heart, seeking to really hear what he's saying, to lower your defenses, me to lower my defenses, to act in light of it, to keep holding on to what he says, that's soil four. Maybe, just thinking with a way of holding on to what he says, maybe we could remind ourselves of a key thing we learn from the parable each week. So maybe on Sunday night, after we look at a parable, we hear a parable, we hear Jesus speak to us through it, we could set a reminder in our phone for, say, Wednesday. Choose your day. Just going to say Wednesday. With a word or a sentence to remind us what we heard from Jesus this night. And so that'll come up again in the middle of the week. It'll help us hold on to it. Or even with just the Bible passage reference in the reminder, so that it'll remind us to look at the passage again to remind us what we heard on Sunday night. Just a way of holding on to his message sort of actively, helping us to keep on receiving it. Because when you really see who he is, it will lead you to do what it says in verse 15. To be good soil, which is those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Listening to him with an attitude of heart that holds on to his word for the long run and produces fruit for him. Persevering in this. One more thing though. It's not all up to us. If it was, frankly, I'd be stuffed. And with all due respect, so would you. We need hearts that are soft, so we need some heart softener. There's one who's good at that. His name is the Holy Spirit. We need his help. So we're going to pray now for that to happen. We're going to pray through a song. And we're going to sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, which is precisely a prayer that God, by his Spirit, the fount, will tune our hearts to sing his grace, tune our hearts to his key, soften our hearts to him, and hold us so that we persevere. Because it says, my heart's prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. Here's my heart, Lord. It says, take and seal it. Seal it for your throne above. We're going to sing that. Will you sing that to God? Let's pray.